For more than 100 years, the people of Wisconsin have been cheering on one organization, apart from Wisconsin Public Radio, the Green Bay Packers. The team has a special place in Wisconsin culture, thanks in large part to its connection with the fans. WPR's regional bureaus recently teamed up to learn more about that relationship. The result is a special called The People and Their Packers. It aired around parts of the state last week, and we're going to hear some of that in just a bit here on Central Time. First, two of the WPR hosts behind the project are with us now. Shireen Seward is host of Route 51 in Wausau. She's also editor of the Wausau Pilot and Review. Shireen, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And Ezra Wall is host of Newsmakers in La Crosse and our regional manager there. Ezra, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rob.
Ezra, the Packers, no secret, big deal in Wisconsin. They get talked about a lot on sports radio every week. You're going beyond the X's and O's here, though. Can you talk about what you were looking for in this special?
Yeah, well, I spent a lot of time working in sports radio before I began my public radio career, and it's mostly second-guessing of coaches and players and evaluation of performance on the field, performance of the referees. All of that gets wrapped up into your typical sports radio conversation with a healthy dose of yelling back and forth to one another. And we kind of wanted to sidestep all of that and get more to like the culture of the team and what really connects the organization with not just the community in Green Bay, but really the whole community throughout Wisconsin.
With that in mind, Shireen, what sort of people did you look to talk to?
We wanted to talk to people who could really speak to what it is that makes the relationship between the Packers and their fans so unique. Because I'll tell you, if you grow up in Wisconsin, you just think that every team has this kind of support. And it wasn't until I was older and traveled a bit and went to some other stadiums and that I realized that that is not the case. This is a very, very loyal fan base that is not like anything else out there. So we wanted to explore that. What is it? So we talked to some fans from inside the state. We talked to some fans from outside the state. And a guy from California who moved to Green Bay, became a season ticket holder, became a shareholder, and is the head of a 12,000-person Southern California Packer fan group on Facebook. Like, what is that? So it was just really wonderful to talk to these people and get their perspective and find out just what it is that made the Green Bay Packers so special to their lives.
Well, that's a pretty good fan story there. Ezra, was there a fan story you heard that stood out to you?
Absolutely. We talked to a woman named Annie Knowlton, and she's actually a Packer fan from the Twin Cities in Minnesota. Ooh. And so she talked about just sort of establishing herself. She had been raised in a split household, Rob, where there were Packer fans and Viking fans. And so being in that community, feeling isolated, and then finally using social media to kind of connect with other Packer fans. Now they meet up every year, except for last year, obviously. They go to games, they do all kinds of different things. But more importantly than that, it's been a real community for Annie to find support for the group grieving together over the death of a friend, and even support through her own journey with cancer. It was just really touching to hear how something as seemingly superficial as watching people throw a ball around a field could really become something meaningful.
Shireen, as you mentioned, it's different among Packers fandom, I think, than any other NFL team. Did you start to figure out what the secret sauce was? What is it about the Packers?
I think there's something about the fact that this is the NFL's only community-owned team. The people really, truly own this team. They are so proud of that. And actually, one of the fans said it best. He said, "This team will break your heart, but they will never leave you." And I thought, that's exactly it. I mean, they are our team.
And Ezra, you're on the opposite side of the state from Green Bay, but that doesn't matter, right?
No, I was raised, in fact, I've been a Packer fan since the day I was born in 1977. You know, you are born a Packer fan in our household, and I've spent my life cheering for them. I lived out of state for a long time, and the internet didn't exist before I moved out of state. And so I've never, ever been to a regular season game in Lambeau Field, and yet I still bleed green out of one arm and gold out of the other one.
Shireen, this is a collaboration among WPR regional bureaus around the state. Can you tell us a little bit about how the project came together?
Well, I've been thinking about this for a while. I've been thinking about it for a couple of years since I was in Nashville and wanted to go to a game there. And I couldn't believe how many seats were available. And I started to think about that. Why is it different there than it is here? And then I thought, okay, this is something I'd like to explore on Route 51. But then I thought it's more of a statewide thing. So we reached out to Ezra and we talked about doing it as a regional project and worked together to make it a more complete program. And we were really excited about the guests that we had.
Ezra, you mentioned you were a sports radio guy. I would love to call a Packer game sometime, even though I'd be terrible at it. Would that be like a life dream for you?
Actually, I would be terrible at it as well. I spent my entire time in sports radio as a producer, but I would love to sit in the booth during a Packer game and just watch how everything happens. And running a board has been my favorite thing to do for years, so I would love to push all the buttons.
Shereen, what do you think? Should WPR try to win the Packers radio contract?
Oh, you bet. You bet. 100%.
But then we'd all be fighting with each other over who got to actually do it week in and week out.
I think we'd have to take turns.
All right. Shereen, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And Ezra, thanks for sharing this with us.
Certainly.
Ezra Wall is WPR's host of Newsmakers in La Crosse. Shereen Seward is host of Route 51 in Wausau. They talked to us about the WPR special they collaborated on, The People and Their Packers. Coming up, we'll hear their conversation with the Packers historian and a journalist who's had a front row seat to the team for decades. Stay with us here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Right now we're talking about The People and Their Packers, a recent special from WPR's regional bureaus that looks at the relationship between the Green Bay Packers and their fans. We just heard from hosts Ezra Wall and Shereen Seward. Now we'll hear their conversation with Keith Donovan, an Emmy-winning video journalist, about his years covering the team. They also talked with team historian Cliff Crystal about fan support during the Packers' early years. He said that although we take sellout crowds at Lambeau Field for granted today, that was not always the case.
One of the things that I learned in my research that I really wasn't aware of was the Packers were not unlike the other small town teams in the league that folded. There really were not enough people in Green Bay to support the team. So Packers struggled with attendance for several years, even into the early 1950s. In the 1920s, they didn't always outdraw the East-West high school football rivalry, which was really, Press Gazette would refer to as the biggest game of the year in Green Bay. But when they started winning in New York, when they went there in 1929, they played the Giants in a late November showdown. Both teams were unbeaten. Packers, I believe, were 9-0. The Giants 8-0-1. And the Packers beat the Giants and went on to win their first NFL title. In the process, they captured the fancy of the fans in New York. And what saved the franchise really was over the next several years, when NFL games are being attended by roughly 12,000 people. Most games, in fact, drew less than that. The Packers were drawing more than 30,000 in New York and Chicago.
So in your years covering the team as a journalist and now as the team's historian, what have you seen in terms of interactions between the fans and the players? Is there a moment that stands out to you?
I think what's interesting is the number of fans who come from out of town to attend the games. I'm not sure exactly what percentage of fans from Green Bay are actually in the stadium on a Sunday afternoon, but I would not be surprised if the number is less than 50%. I mean, Lambeau Field is a pilgrimage.
Cliff Crystal is the Packers team historian and the author of the forthcoming book, The Greatest Story in Sports. Cliff, thank you very much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And now we're joined by Keith Donovan. Keith grew up in Rhinelander, graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, and went on to a career in video journalism, one that took him to the sidelines, covering his favorite team both home and away.
Growing up in Rhinelander, I mean, we were not the wealthiest family in the world. I never even got to go to a Packer game. So the first time I ever went to a Packer game, I was covering it. So I got to walk down the ramp and be right there on the field. And I mean, it was just tingling. It was the coolest thing.
You got to take your dad with you. to a game as well.
Funny thing is you'd think that there'd be other people that would want to take their Saturday and go to the game with, or Sunday, excuse me, and go to the game with me. But I couldn't get anyone else that was willing to do that because, you know, you're in the locker room and you're doing interviews and you had to have somebody hold the mic for you and stuff. And it was hard for me to get somebody on a regular basis to do that. So I actually asked my father if he'd want to go do that with me. And I mean, it was awesome for him. Like I said, growing up for us, vacationing was camping, you know. So for us to go to the Packers game together, he could be on the sidelines with me and then we'd be in the locker room and he'd get to see all these players up front and personal. And it was great. And, you know, like being in the break room on Monday, the guys would all be just, you know, goofing around talking about the game. And, you know, somebody would go, did you see that play? I mean, what was Favre thinking? And my dad could kind of joke around and go, well, you know, when I asked him on Sunday, he'd say, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, he never really got to ask them, but he could at least, you know, put, you know, taunt that he was at the game and they weren't. So it was kind of cool.
So when you're on the field as a videographer, as a photojournalist, do you have to kind of watch out for flying objects?
You're not that far removed from the sidelines. And there was actually one time, I'm not sure who it was, but I was doing what I had said. I was doing some ISOs and I was following a person and you can almost kind of tell when they're not going to get the ball because, you know, they start off really fast and then you can kind of tell they just let up a little bit because they don't want to use up all their juice for the game, you know, stuff. And I could tell it was not coming my way, but then all of a sudden somebody, I don't know if it was a officer or somebody else behind me, because we have to kneel at Lambeau, and somebody grabbed me by the back of the neck or collar and just kind of pulled me down backwards. And at first I was so angry. I was like, what are you doing? And then I saw the cleats fly over me ahead, over the top of me. And, you know, the play was coming my way and you hold the camera on your right side. And so my right side was my blind side and I couldn't see the play coming my way. And if they hadn't done that, you know, who knows, I would have been, you know,
cleats to the head.
Yeah. I would have been embedded into the turf, basically.
You got to cover the Super Bowl back when the Packers were playing in New Orleans. Tell us about that.
Yep, New Orleans and the following year in San Diego. So a win and a loss. It was amazing. It was so at the time I worked for a local Fox affiliate. It was the first ever Super Bowl on Fox, and I was there for 2 weeks down in New Orleans. And again, it's normally a 3-day city. You know, you go there for 3 days and it's fun, but I was there for 2 weeks. And then being on the sidelines, it's very aggressive actually for photographers. I mean, photographers are vying for position. You have to run ahead. You can't like hold a spot or anything like that. You have to run ahead and you have to have some intuition too. You have to kind of know or think you know where the play is going to be. Also, you're looking at the clock and you see that there's only maybe 10 seconds left in the quarter and there's maybe, you know, 15 or 20 seconds left on the play clock, you know, they're not going to get a playoff and they're down on the 10 yard line. So you have to literally do a 100 yard sprint, you know, to get to the other end of the stadium because they're going to switch sides and you're going to be stuck on the opposite end of the field. So you literally sprint to the other end, and not just at a Super Bowl, when the Packers were really popular, there was just as many people on the sidelines as there were a Super Bowl. And you have to get there and you got to get your spot. And a lot of competition for that. People are bumping you and pushing you around and stuff.
What's it like in the locker room after a Packer win?
I mean, after a Packer win, they're all happy and fun. And a lot of times you can get people to talk. I mean, obviously the quarterback, I mean, I can't honestly remember ever seeing Brett in the locker room, because they always bring them out and they have them on the podium. And I don't even know if, to this day, I don't even know if their area is in the main area, because I would never see them in there. But they're goofing around and they're having a good time and laughing. The tough part was on a loss, because we still had to go in there and we still had to talk to them. And, you know, we had to do our job, and they don't want to hear you ask those tough questions. They don't want to have to do it, but we still have to do it. And sometimes that was really tough. And it was really tough when they lost to Denver in the Super Bowl. I mean, great, it was all fun when they won in New Orleans, but the following year when they lost to Denver, and that was at the time, it was considered one of the best Super Bowls. Most Super Bowls are blowouts and it's not a great game, but that one was considered a really good game. And you could hear a pin drop in that locker room. And most people didn't even want to talk to him, didn't want to ask questions. That was a tough day.
We talked to people for this program from all over the place who are Packer fans. I mean, there are 12,000 Packer fans in a Southern California group that get together and watch games and connect with one another. After covering the Packers for so many years, what do you think it is about the team that has appeal that reaches so far beyond Wisconsin's borders?
Maybe part of it is that while, you know, any team in the NFL is big business, the Packers are the only team that is not owned by, you know, like a one person or a certain entity. It's owned by the people. And it's in a very small town. And I think people feel like it's our team, you know, it's not one person's team, and everybody just feels like they're part of something. And I think there's a lot to that, especially like if it's a close game or something like that, it's not the Packers won. I mean, we all won. I don't know if we have time to talk about it, but there's one game for me that sticks out more so than any Super Bowl or anything like that. And I think Shireen and I had shared a video of this that I had shot before, but this was a Vikings Packers regular season game. It was November 6, 2000, and it was November. It was cooler, super windy, raining. It was raining sideways, and it looked like the Vikings were going to win. I mean, there's like 8 seconds left in the game and it was tied, and they're about to kick a field goal from somewhere in the 30-yard line. But the snap was bobbled, and the holder decided to try to do some sort of a pass and was intercepted, and the game ended in a tie. Packers won the toss. And so obviously, you know, sudden death rules back then, we're heading down, and Favre on third down, I think it was, he threw a pass to Antonio Freeman. And the pass was deflected, and Freeman did a face plant. He slid on the ground, and everybody thought this play is over. The ball lands on Antonio's back, and somehow he spins around and grabs the ball before it hits the ground. And it's considered a catch, but everybody, the stadium, the announcers, even me, and it happened literally right in front of me. Everybody thought it was a dead play, but it was a reception. And because there wasn't a Viking near him, he actually got up and he ran the distance into the end zone, and sudden death, we won. And I mean, the fans went crazy. I mean, there's enough electricity in that stadium to power half of Wisconsin. I mean, it was just amazing. You know, at the end of the game, you get to run onto the field with your camera and stuff. And I was just going from player to player and running up there, and just to see the excitement and the electricity in the air. I mean, it was something that I will never, ever experience again in my life.
You've talked about shooting the players, shooting the field action. What about the fans? You ever turn the camera around on the fans, or do you ever get an opportunity to see interaction between the players and the fans?
You do a little bit, and that's kind of the fun part. You don't always get to do that. There's a few occasions you get to do that. But there's one thing that stands out for me, and it happens every year, and honestly, anybody can take part in this. You don't have to have a ticket to a game to take part in this, and that's training camp. Every year, the Packers, they get ready at the stadium, and then they walk across the parking lot to the Don Hutson Center, and they have practice over there. And they have it set up where people can stand there and kind of watch the players come out and stuff. And this is so stinking cute. There's these kids with their little bikes that kind of come over there, and these players, the kids will stand there, and, you know, these players are towering, big, huge linemen and stuff that weigh hundreds and hundreds of pounds. And there's these little tykes with their bikes, and they're almost looking straight up at the sky at these guys. And they hand them their bikes, and these big guys will hop on these bikes, and their knees are as they're trying to ride the bike, are practically hitting them in the in the chin, and the kid will like hop alongside of them, and they'll ride that bike across the parking lot all the way over to practice, and then they hand the bike over to the kid. And it's just one of the greatest things you can possibly witness. And again, it's free, happens almost every day during training camp. If anyone has nothing going on, I encourage you to go up and check it out.
Photojournalist Keith Donovan has been in the television industry for years and spent many of them covering the Packers on the sidelines. Keith, thanks very much for joining us on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We also heard from WPR hosts Ezra Wall and Shereen Seward as part of the special they produced called The People and Their Packers.